Welcome to A-Level Physics Unlocked, the podcast that gets you exam ready, one topic at a time. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and mark-rich topics in the entire OCR A-Level Physics specification, Nuclear and Particle Physics, Topic 6.4. Whether you're revising for your mocks or gearing up for the real thing, this episode is going to give you everything you need: the core concepts, the exam technique, the common traps to avoid, and a quick-fire quiz at the end to test your recall. So, grab your revision notes, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Now, before we jump in, let me just say this. Nuclear and particle physics is one of those topics that students either absolutely love or find genuinely intimidating. And I get it. Quarks, binding energy, conservation laws, the Standard Model, it can feel like a lot. But here's the thing. Once you understand the underlying logic, it all clicks together beautifully. And the examiners at OCR reward students who can demonstrate that deeper understanding. So let's build it together. Section 1, the structure of the nucleus and radioactive decay. Let's start at the heart of the matter, literally. The atomic nucleus is made up of protons and neutrons, collectively called nucleons. The number of protons is the atomic number Z, and the total number of nucleons is the mass number A. Isotopes are atoms of the same element with different numbers of neutrons, same Z, different A. Now, some nuclei are unstable, they have too many or too few neutrons relative to protons, or they're simply too large to hold together. These unstable nuclei undergo radioactive decay. They emit radiation to become more stable. There are three main types: alpha decay, beta decay, and gamma emission. In alpha decay, the nucleus emits an alpha particle. That's two protons and two neutrons, essentially a helium-4 nucleus. The mass number decreases by 4, and the atomic number decreases by 2. In beta minus decay, a neutron in the nucleus converts into a proton, emitting a high-energy electron, the beta particle, and an electron antineutrino. This is crucial. The antineutrino is not optional. It must be included in your decay equation, and here's why. Without it, lepton number is not conserved. The electron has a lepton number of plus 1. To balance this, you need an antineutrino with a lepton number of minus 1. Omitting the antineutrino is one of the most common mistakes I see in exam scripts, and it costs marks every single time. In beta plus decay, a proton converts into a neutron, emitting a positron and an electron neutrino. Again, the neutrino must be included. Gamma emission doesn't change the mass number or atomic number. It's simply the nucleus releasing excess energy as a high-frequency electromagnetic wave. Now here's a key concept that OCR loves to test. The nature of radioactive decay is both random and spontaneous. These two words have very specific meanings, and you must not confuse them. Random means that it is impossible to predict when any specific nucleus will decay. Each nucleus has a constant probability of decaying per unit time, regardless of what other nuclei are doing. Spontaneous means that the decay is not triggered or influenced by external factors: temperature, pressure, chemical environment. None of these affect the decay rate. A common mistake is to use these terms interchangeably or to define random as happening at irregular intervals. That's not precise enough for exam credit. Section 2, Radioactive Decay Mathematics and Half-Life. OCR expects you to be comfortable with the mathematics of radioactive decay. The key equation is N equals N0 times e to the power of minus lambda t. Here, N is the number of undecayed nuclei at time t. N0 is the initial number, and lambda is the decay constant, the probability of a nucleus decaying per unit time, measured in inverse seconds. The activity A, that's the number of decays per second, measured in becquerels, is given by A equals lambda N. And the half-life t half is related to the decay constant by t half equals the natural log of 2 divided by lambda, which is approximately 0.693 divided by lambda. Here's a really useful exam technique. If you're asked to determine the decay constant from a graph, plot the natural log of activity against time. The gradient of this straight line graph is negative lambda. Examiners will specifically credit you for stating this relationship explicitly. Don't just quote the gradient, say the gradient equals negative lambda, therefore lambda equals. Section 3, the Standard Model and Particle Classification. Right, let's move into particle physics, and this is where it gets really interesting. The Standard Model is our best current description of the fundamental particles and the forces between them. All matter is made of fermions, particles with half-integer spin. These divide into quarks and leptons. There are 6 quarks: up, down, charm, strange, top, and bottom. Quarks combine to form hadrons. Baryons are made of 3 quarks. The proton is up-up-down, and the neutron is up-down-down. Mesons are made of a quark and an antiquark. Leptons include the electron, muon, and tau, plus their associated neutrinos. Unlike quarks, leptons do not experience the strong nuclear force. The forces are mediated by exchange particles called bosons. The electromagnetic force uses photons. The weak nuclear force uses the W+, W- and Z0 bosons. The strong force between quarks uses gluons. And between nucleons, the residual strong force is mediated by pions. Though be careful here, gluons act between quarks, pions act between nucleons. Confusing these two is a very common error. Now, conservation laws are absolutely central to particle physics questions. When you're asked to validate or refute a proposed particle interaction, you must check 3 things: conservation of charge, conservation of baryon number, and conservation of lepton number. If any one of these is violated, the interaction cannot occur. Baryon number: quarks have baryon number plus 1/3, antiquarks minus 1/3. Baryons have baryon number plus 1, antibaryons minus 1. Mesons and leptons have baryon number 0. Lepton number: leptons have lepton number plus 1, antileptons minus 1. Quarks and hadrons have lepton number 0. Note that lepton number is conserved separately for each lepton family. Electron lepton number, muon lepton number, and tau lepton number are each independently conserved. Section 4, beta decay and the weak interaction. Beta decay is mediated by the weak nuclear force, and OCR specifically wants you to understand this at the quark level. In beta minus decay, a down quark changes into an up quark, emitting a W minus boson, which then decays into an electron and an electron antineutrino. This is a quark flavor change. The quark type changes. This can only happen via the weak interaction. In beta plus decay, an up quark changes into a down quark, emitting a W plus boson, which decays into a positron and an electron neutrino. Memorize the quark compositions. Proton is Ued, neutron is Ued. From these, you can derive the beta decay mechanisms without rote learning. In beta minus 1d quark becomes a U quark, so the neutron Ued becomes a proton Ued. Elegant, right? Section 5, binding energy and mass defect. This is the most mathematically demanding part of the topic, and it's where careful technique really pays off. The mass defect is the difference between the total mass of the separate nucleons and the actual mass of the nucleus. The nucleus is always lighter than its constituent parts. This missing mass has been converted into binding energy, the energy required to completely separate the nucleus into its individual nucleons. The relationship is Einstein's famous equation, E equals mc squared. To use it, calculate the mass defect in atomic mass units, convert to kilograms using 1 U equals 1.661 times 10 to the minus 27 kilograms, then multiply by c squared. Alternatively, use the conversion 1 U equals 931.5 MeV. This is often faster in calculations. The binding energy per nucleon is the total binding energy divided by the mass number A. This is the quantity plotted on the binding energy curve. Iron 56 sits at the peak. It has the highest binding energy per nucleon and is therefore the most stable nucleus. Nuclei lighter than iron can release energy by fusion. Nuclei heavier than iron can release energy by fission. A critical exam technique for show that questions: carry your intermediate values to at least 5 decimal places. Rounding too early will give you a final answer that doesn't match the given value, and you'll lose the mark even if your method is correct. Section 6, exam tips and common mistakes. Let me now run through the most important exam technique points for this topic. First, command words. When a question says state, give a brief, precise answer. 1 or 2 sentences maximum. Explain requires you to give a reason. Use the word because to force yourself to make the causal link explicit. Calculate means show every step of working, quote the formula, substitute values with units, and give your final answer with appropriate, significant figures in units. Second, conservation law questions. Always check all 3: charge, baryon number, lepton number. Set out your working in a table if it helps. Examiner's award marks for each conservation law checked correctly. Third, the antineutrino in beta minus decay, write it every time, no exceptions. Fourth, mass defect calculations. Use proton mass, not hydrogen atom mass, unless you're using atomic masses and carefully accounting for electron masses. The distinction matters for precision. Fifth, the decay constant from a graph. If you plot ln A against T, state explicitly that the gradient equals negative lambda. Don't assume the examiner will infer it. Sixth, spontaneous versus random. These are different things. Spontaneous means unaffected by external conditions. Random means unpredictable for any individual nucleus. Section 7, quickfire recall quiz. Right, let's test your knowledge. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the quark composition of a proton? Answer, up, up, down, written as UUD. Question 2. In beta minus decay, what quark flavor change occurs? Answer, a down quark changes into an up quark. Question 3. What exchange particle mediates the weak nuclear force in beta decay? Answer, the W minus boson in beta minus decay, the W plus boson in beta plus decay. Question 4. What is the relationship between half-life and decay constant? Answer, T half equals ln 2 divided by lambda, approximately 0.693 divided by lambda. Question 5. If you plot ln A against time for a radioactive source, what does the gradient represent? Answer, the gradient equals negative lambda, the negative of the decay constant. Question 6. What does it mean for radioactive decay to be spontaneous? Answer, the decay is not influenced by external factors such as temperature, pressure, or chemical environment. Question 7. What is the unit of activity? Answer, the becquerel, symbol, BQ, equal to 1 decay per second. How did you do? If you got all 7, you're in great shape. If you stumbled on any, go back to those sections in your notes and make sure you can reproduce those answers without prompting. Section 8, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Nuclear and particle physics at OCR A level is built on 3 pillars: understanding radioactive decay and its mathematics, classifying particles using the standard model and conservation laws, and calculating binding energy using mass defect. Master these 3 areas and you're well placed to score highly. The key things to take away from today: radioactive decay is random and spontaneous. Know the difference. Beta minus decay involves a down quark changing to an up quark via the weak force, mediated by the W minus boson, producing an electron and an electron antineutrino. Conservation of charge, baryon number, and lepton number must all be checked in particle interaction questions. Binding energy calculations require careful handling of mass defect. Carry values to 5 decimal places and show that questions. And when plotting ln A against time, the gradient is negative lambda. Say it explicitly. Thank you so much for listening to A-Level Physics Unlocked. If this episode helped you, share it with a classmate who's revising the same topic. Good luck in your exams. You've got this. Until next time, keep asking why. Keep checking your units and never forget the antineutrino.